Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Good evening.
Jay Cross.
Hiya.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
Oh, God.
Thanks for that. That's horrible. That's horrible. I've had 2 hours sleep and...
Have you?
That's horrible. Yeah. I stayed up I watched the Royal Rumble live.
Oh, right. Of course. It couldn't be like that you were out partying or that, you know, you'd had a hardcore... night of sex and drugs.
No,
it's that you stayed up to watch.
I had a hardcore night of watching burly men try and throw each other over the top rope
whilst drinking Lucozade. Probably
I was drinking some Lucozade.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how I roll. But yeah, finished at 4 and Ella gets up for work at 6, so I've been up since then. So if this podcast is slightly incoherent, that'd be why.
It's funny him saying like, "Oh, I went to bed at 4." It's like, yeah. That's what people in your 20s do sometimes.
I'm not in my 20s. Usually go to bed. I've usually got my pyjamas on by about 7:30.
Right, okay.
The only night I don't do that is when you guys are here on Mondays or Tuesdays to record. So, cool. Anyway, there is a lot of big wrestling news, but that is not this podcast, what this podcast is about.
We went so far over last time, and I can see that there are more products that we're hoping to get through this time.
Yep, what this...
we're going to have to crack through this.
The hot topic, obviously, this week is that it was NAMM this weekend, just gone, and we did talk about a lot about NAMM products last week, but obviously not everything was released, or there were some things that we knew about that we couldn't talk about, and a lot of things we just had no idea on because they kept them very, very secret.
We're going to try not to just talk about pedals this week.
But before we dive into the NAMM stuff, there's been a few bits happening with us. So what have you all been up to this week? Matt Knight.
I have been, in fact, I spent today playing a lot of guitar. I got a new amp. Which I put up on the Facebook group. I bought a Sir Badger, which I've been after for one for ages. I nearly bought one secondhand about 2 or 3 years ago. And then when I started my new job last year and we were a stockist, I was like, plugged one in again. I was like, oh, these amps are so good. It's basically like a hot-rodded Marshall in a box, but it does much better clean sounds as well.
What wattage is it?
18, variable down to half a watt.
Nice.
Using onboard power scaling. But like... not just like a switch, it's kind of like actual variable attenuation, a bit like the Marshall AFD slash heads had, but because it's a much smaller range rather than like 1 watt to 100 watts, it becomes a little bit more usable. Because, you know, like 100 watts to 1 watt, you're like, well, can you really hear the difference in between? Whereas at 18 to like half a watt, you can kind of really start to kind of like shape the sound of it. It's effectively got three volumes. So one is the power control, which is the actual amount of watts. Then one is a master volume, and then one is like a gain control. So you've got preamp volume, power amp volume, and then like valve volume.
Valve, the old double V. it's just an attenuation amount, isn't it? Basically,
yeah, yeah.
It's the same. A lot of the PV amps do that. Like the classic series, I think, has got preamp, power amp, and master.
Yeah, it's similar, I suppose, because the thing is rather than like a switch that takes it down by half power or changes the amps from like triode to pentode or uses one valve instead of two or two instead of four, it actually changes effectively the amount of power going to the valve base.
Right.
So you know, sometimes on some amps where you can switch them down, like the Vox AC range, when you can switch them down to a quarter of a watt, they started to sound really compressed. So this still sounds really open and quite jangly, even though you're kind of rolling the power all the way down. So that
You don't mean the Vox AC range.
Yeah, the AC4s, they had variable...
Oh, the little ones, the AC4 TV.
The little
TV, sorry. I forgot.
And then I also worked out a way with the ES8 that you can effectively have preset tempos on an analog delay pedal.
What?
Yeah, so I've worked out a way, and I'll put a description up somewhere because it's, to be honest, too in-depth to go into, but I've got a DM2W that's got a rate control input for an expression pedal. And if you plug a stereo lead from the ES8 to the delay pedal, you can then set per preset a predetermined amount between 0 and 127 that automatically sends that amount to the delay pedal. So you can, in theory, rather than having the expression pedal that sweeps, you set the expression pedal at one point.
Right.
So that sends that expression pedal point to the pedal, and effectively you can then preset a tempo for every patch.
I see. So
So it's completely dependent on the analog delay actually having an expression out, which is something quite unique to the
Weathercraft
delay.
No, there are quite a few pedals out there. But I mean, the thing is, you can then use that example with anything with an expression in.
Yeah.
So anything that's got an expression in, you can then preset tempos without physically having to have, an expression pedal plugged in, for example. Because I don't actually have to have an expression pedal in for it to work from the ES8. And then also worked out a way that you can kind of do a tap tempo as well, which is quite cool. So you can use it to kind of preset two defined amounts and then switch between the two of them.
Right. Okay.
But it will go up or down in a curve. So it will kind of like speed up in real time. So it sounds a bit like moving the delay control on a space echo. So if you've got loads of repeats, you can get it to slow down like automatically.
Okay.
So you can get some really cool effects out of it.
So you could go from, you could do like weird oscillation stuff if you had the feedback all the way up and then you were switching between the two tempo points.
Yeah, you can then in theory basically go between, you could have it in near oscillation and then get it to actually like physically, almost like you were turning the delay control basically.
Yeah.
So that was quite cool. I spent quite a lot of time messing around with that actually.
Is there no?
You can get some quite useful effects on it.
Is there no end to the ES8? The range of features on the ES8.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's just like, you know, I think once you've spent enough time with it, you kind of go a bit more in depth with what you can actually do, and then you kind of just think, well, I suppose it's a bit like patching stuff on like, you know, a synthesizer. Is kind of like, what happens if I plug that into that? And eventually you kind of go with the ES8. It's like, what happens if I send this control to that control? And then sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it does. But yeah, you can get some quite funky results out of it.
Jay Cross, I understand you've been doing some guitar-related stuff this week.
This must be the first time maybe in 3 or 4 weeks when this has come around to you. And
I've got an answer.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the answer.
I've put a deposit down on a new guitar. I haven't bought a new guitar in ages.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, it's got to be the first new guitar you've bought.
First new guitar I've bought in...
Since I've known you, even when we worked together, I don't think you bought a new guitar.
Two of your three guitars have been at my house for a couple of months now.
Yeah. I got the other one, though, at home.
That's true.
And the P-Bass at home.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've got a deposit down on a new guitar.
Not just any new guitar.
I'm really excited about it. One of the new... models, one of the new... I feel like you've come to me at the wrong time because this is a good segue point into the
no let's up in the news, obviously it's been NAMM this week, there's been a lot of new stuff. Fender have announced the Magnificent 7 range. We'll go into that in full detail shortly, but one of the new models is very cool indeed,
is a Fender Offset Telecaster, which is actually a bit of a funky name for a Telemaster, which is a guitar that has existed in the realms of sort of custom builds, and even the custom shop. The Fender Custom Shop did them.
I think the Fender Custom Shop did it first.
Did they?
And then
butterscotch with a black plate. Yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone went, that's amazing, build some more, and they went, no.
Nah.
And then there's been loads of stuff like Warmoth have had those sort of bodies for ages.
Yeah.
It was quite surprising they didn't call it the Telemaster.
I was also quite surprised.
Do they not own...
They haven't called it the Telemaster.
No, it's called the Offset Telecaster. Oh,
do they not own that name?
Maybe someone took it off them.
Yeah, it's just a bit weird that they haven't called it that. Because that's what the Custom Shop one was called, right? Telemaster?
Yeah, I think it was called I'm pretty sure it was called the Telemaster.
So they are actually calling it the Offset Telecaster?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, just explain kind of what it is.
So, it's a Jaguar body, well, Jazzmaster body, I guess. Jaguar body. I suppose Jazzmaster, because it's standard scale length.
Yeah.
So, it's a Jazzmaster body, which is really comfortable. I mean, I had a Jaguar for a while, and I really liked it. But I didn't like the sound of it as much as I liked the telly, and I played the telly a lot more. So, I ended up moving that on. And I had a Mustang, which I really liked, and I didn't like the sound of that as much as a telly, so I moved that on. And then I bought an American Standard telly, which I really liked because I liked the sound of it, I liked the pickups, but I didn't like the bridge construction, because with the American Standards, it's the standard six-way bridge construction, whereas the American Special Telecaster that I've got is the sort of more traditional 50s three-way brass saddle.
Yeah.
Now, the new Telemaster that they've announced for the Magnificent Seven range it just encompasses all of that.
But it is American Standard.
It's American Standard.
So I can't, and it seems so out of nowhere. Like, at least when the Jaguar bass got released into the American Standard series for Fender, we sort of had, like, they toyed with it first. It came out as a Japanese model.
Don't forget, these are limited edition.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. So,
but it's still American Standard. Like, they haven't called it. It's not an FSR thing.
No, it's not.
It's an American Standard. Mm,
it kind of is, because it falls in this Magnificent Seven range,
it kind of is FSR, but like, I guess they couldn't really call it an FSR because it is a new model. It's not like traditionally what you'd expect from an FSR instrument or an FSR product is that it would be a relatively recognisable product that Fender or Squire do, just with a couple of changes, so like a different colour or a different pickup configuration or one thing or another. But this is like, yeah, I mean, it's,
this is,
it's
a thing that doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist. Yeah. So, and it encompasses all of the things that I like about the previous guitars that I've had. So it's got the traditional 50s bridge construction.
Has it?
Yeah.
On an American Standard?
On an American Standard. It's got the three-way brass saddles. It's got, I'm pretty sure, the same pickups.
So Custom Shop pickups?
Custom Shop pickups. Definitely a twisted telly in... it's definitely a twisted telly in the neck. I think it might be something slightly different in the bridge.
Right. It would make sense.
I'm glad you know about this guitar you're buying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can change stuff if I need to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know. But it's, other than that, it's a Telecaster. I mean, it's basically my Telecaster, but with better pickups and a different body.
So I've ordered it in white.
Of course I've ordered it in white.
And the white, does it come with a torque guard or a white guard?
It's white with a white guard. Yeah, it's okay. White with a white guard. So I'll probably change that.
Well, there's a question. Is the plate a Tele plate then?
No, it's a Jaguar.
It is a Jazzmaster.
I've seen a picture of it for a while. Oh, I kept looking at pictures, and then I was like, I've got to stop looking at this now.
So,
but also, like, there's hardly any information on it. Like, I can't. They're not. I don't think they've really been listed anywhere yet.
No, so, I don't. I think there are a number of shops that still aren't listing them.
So there's less than 20 in the UK. Is that right, Matt?
I think there's 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and then 500 worldwide.
Right.
When you think, like, even if you thought, like, maybe 300 went to America, say, or, like, across 50 states, across, like, the amount of stores, that's not a lot, really, when you think about it at all.
Not at all. So,
the fact that you're getting one...
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You're going to have to get a custom plate.
Yeah, looking at the plate, it is going to be a...
bottom half telly, top half
Jaguar Jazzmaster.
Yeah.
It's... Just having a look. The bridge pickup set just says vintage style Custom Shop single coil Telecaster pickup.
There we go.
So I don't know what that will be.
Fat 50s equivalent, probably something like that.
So, really, really exciting. I did toy with getting the Lake Placid Blue.
Oh, it looks lovely because they do it with a mint guard on the Lake Placid Blue.
Yeah, I did toy with the Lake Placid Blue. But
maple necks on all of the models.
Yeah.
No rosewood option.
And, good. No need.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm interested to see because I've not seen the headstock up close.
Well, there's no logo for Offset Telecaster. No, it's just as Fender.
I presume it's like a Nocaster style logo. But the neck is still the what you'd expect from American Standard. So it's Modern C. Excuse me, Modern C with a satin back.
So only downside is not till July.
Not till July. Well, probably a bit later than that. Let's be honest. Okay. You know,
because when the Magnificent Seven, as with last year's, the 10 for 2015 or whatever it was called,
10 for 15 range.
They're time specific, aren't they?
They're staggering them.
It's all announced now. You get a deposit on it, and then you get it when you get it. But this, I think, they said July. But
it said July, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
you know,
probably August.
But that's fine. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, if it was out now, I'd need to sell my telly immediately.
Yeah.
But maybe if it's a couple of months away, I'll be able to sort of hold off and selling the telly. And
you can probably get your telly set up in that time.
Well, I mean, I would do if it was at my house.
Just make sure it works as well, because last time I played it, it didn't work.
Okay. Well, there we go. So there we go. I'm really very, very excited.
Awesome.
Very excited.
Me too. I want to see it because it seems like you won't see it in shops. So for one of us to actually get one, I think is a very cool thing indeed.
Yeah.
Joe Branton, what have you been up to?
This week my band got booked to play some shows in Europe, some festivals.
Okay.
And we're flying out there. And with the festivals are paying to fly us out.
Are you allowed to do cross borders? I thought there was some sort of.
I mean that it's no, no. It's,
oh no, it's, sorry, it's a restraining
it's
schools, order.
Yeah, it's schools. It's nothing more. But it's
horrendous.
Whenever we go to Europe, we always drive because we have a van, so we can put our stuff in it. But we're flying this time, and I realised that none of our gear is
flyable.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm actually having to invest a chunk of. I basically have to buy a new pedal board.
Really?
Well, because I
can't
have
you just put no, it in something better.
No, well, I have the Pedal Train PT1.
Yeah.
Which is the only one in the entire series. It's discontinued now, but in the previous series, the only one that didn't come in a flight case. It came in an ordinary latching hard case.
Yeah.
So it's not. Flight case, and to be honest, I mean, it already has a couple of chunks out of it from just being in the back of a van.
Could you not just gaff around it, bit of bubble wrap inside?
I'm definitely not doing that.
You could just buy a replacement hard case for it, though.
Yeah, but come on, that's going to be the same amount,
can you? Oh, well,
yeah, you could go to Swan Flight. I'm sure someone likes
probably,
Swan Flight.
And that will cost me £100, which is about as much as it costs to buy a Novo 24, which I think is around. I think a Novo 18 is around the same size. So,
yeah.
But I've noticed that there's £10 difference between a Novo 18 and a Novo 24. So I might as well get the extra room and put some more pedals on there. So I'm going to have to invest like £150 in a Pedal Train Novo 24, and then I'm a sucker for Fender Tweed hard cases.
Oh god, so, they'll never survive
well,
a flight.
That's it. All of my hard cases are. I have three, and they're all Tweed hard cases.
I've got a Hiscox you can borrow if you want.
Have you?
Yeah.
It will get wrecked. I mean,
no.
Well, I've got one that a base case.
A base one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got one that is already wrecked. I think it's. Upstairs at the Evening Star.
Yeah, mine's. Right, yeah, but yeah. They. So the last time I travelled with mine, I saw one of the kind track or whatever it is, runway side staff throw it from the little carrying thing onto the floor and then throw it into the pile of stuff. And it survived. It's all good. So the case is still fine. Just. What I would suggest is maybe put some gaffer around it.
Yeah.
As I would do with anyone flying.
Because I messaged you all the other night to ask if...
Yeah, we probably should have said then. Have you ordered some already?
What? Oh, cases. No, I haven't. I haven't ordered them yet.
You can borrow mine.
I'm going to order the Nova 24. But yeah, well, I might take you up on that. I was thinking maybe I should actually have one of these anyway. But yeah, Hiscox, I messaged you guys to actually just ask if the Hiscox EBS is flight proof. Just
100%.
Because I know, of course, there was the big thing, and of course, we've all have or do work in guitar shops. So we've all done that thing where you put a Hiscox case on the floor and then jump up and down on it to demonstrate to the customer that it is a really good case. But despite that, the catches have just always seemed a little bit...
The catch with the key on it from on every Hiscox I've had has broken. That's why I always put gaffer around it.
Right.
Because, like, I guess you just can't guarantee how the catch is. Like, the case itself is solid enough. But, yeah, a bit of gaffer around it and a bit of bubble wrap or some T-shirts inside, stuffed inside.
I think the thing is, ideally, you always want to wrap something around it anyway so that you can tell that no one's been inside it.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So if you gaffer tape around it, then you know if someone's tried to come inside it.
I had I have like an instrument fund, and I had like 300 quid in there that I was looking forward to doing something exciting with, like the PRS base that we were talking about
It's gone.
Well, I can't do that now because I've got to, all that money has now got to be injected into a...
Well, we've saved you some money. You can borrow hard cases.
I could borrow an EBS. Yeah, thanks, gang. But yeah, that's me. No worries. We should move on.
Yeah, well, we'll do. Yeah, we've got, we're 20 minutes in. We've not talked about NAMM yet. Yeah. Just quickly, before we go, I've got a couple of bits of news in that I finally got around to ordering a Montreal Assembly Count to 5.
Cool.
I was such a sucker. Because they're really cool. They sound really good.
I know, but... I was explaining them to a colleague at work when you had said that you were getting one. I was explaining to a colleague at work what they were, and they were like, "Isn't Mark in a punk pop band?"
Yeah, I don't play guitar in that band. I am still in that band. We're doing a gig March 11th.
I was going to say not anymore. Now that you've got this, you'll be like in some sort of weird ambient punk.
Oh yeah, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Bibio, that sort of thing. I just thought, you know, it's time to do that. No, I just really like the pedal. I think it's a really cool concept. And yeah, he's taking pre-orders now, so it's like $50 pre-order, and then you get it in April or May, something like that, and then you pay the balance and send it over. So yeah, all good. I'm really looking forward to it. I shall report back. The other thing is I'm doing a review on the site for the Daddario custom patch cable kit. So yesterday I completely pulled apart my pedal board and replaced all of the Fender Custom Shop cables with the Daddario custom patch cable kit, and it actually worked out really nicely. It's super neat. I mean, I don't think it's the best patch cable kit on the market. I know, like, is it the Diego one that's
the Patch Factory?
It's Diego. I mean, there's so many solderless kits. Yeah. So people making solderless cables out there.
Yeah. These were good. Do you know what I liked about this? The jacks are like really chunky, which, for a board like mine where like I have actually got a little bit of space because I haven't got that many pedals, they're really good, and they were like much weightier than I thought. It all just feels really good quality.
I was going to say also that's a real advantage is that if you've got normal Planet Waves cables, like an 18 footer, you can just cut the end off and then put a solderless patch cable one on the ends.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Very cool.
But, I mean, that would actually play into the downside is that you only get enough for 6 pedals. And even on the small pedal board that I've got 7 pedals. So I've still got to use one of the little Fender Custom Shop ones at the end of the chain, which is really annoying.
That does seem like a bit of an oversight.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Actually, though, worth pointing out...
I don't have 6 pedals on my practice board, you know.
Worth pointing out that MXR have got patch cables, and they've got pancake ends. They're like really flat end patch cables.
Oh, thank goodness! Yeah,
what have they? They just come out those, or are they?
Yeah, they've just come out. We've just started stocking them, and I suddenly And actually, Roland have announced a series of new cables and patch cables as well.
They have indeed. We've got some. We're gonna have some reviews on that new stuff on the site, I think, at some point.
Yeah, but MXR pancake patch cables, which is quite good if you're trying to save space, so really good for like micro pedal boards.
Nice Well, yeah, the overall thoughts on the Daddario kit: very good, good quality, easy to use, but not enough. It'd be good if there was at least 2 more in there. I assume you can buy like a booster kit to get some more, so review going up on the site soon.
I think you can buy them as like individuals. I think you can buy I think you can buy the jack plugs in 2s.
Okay.
Which I still don't think is enough. So you can buy them to make one more patch cable.
That's fine, though, because you just, if you need two, you just buy two.
Well, I suppose, but it's, I don't know, it still just seems like...
But it does come with enough cable, though. That's the thing I was worried about, is it wouldn't come with enough cable, because I saw that it only had for six pedals, and I was like, wait, it's not going to have enough cable to do my board, because mine stretches from the top left-hand corner to the bottom right-hand corner of the board. But I've got ample cable left.
Well, that is bad arrangement.
No, it's good. It works out great. Plenty of cable there. I've still got probably, you know, 2-3 metre left.
Right, okay,
so
cool.
It's all good. Anyway, should we dive in some NAM news?
News from NAM.
I like that. That's good. So, let's dive in. We've already talked about one of the guitars from it, but Fender have announced the Magnificent 7.
Yeah.
Seven new limited edition guitars across 2016.
Yeah.
Matt Knight, give us the rundown.
So
they're just getting lazier, aren't they?
Yeah, last year they did 10. Now it's 7.
Next year, there'll just be one guitar.
Yeah.
That's it, just one.
Give us the rundown.
So you've got limited versions of the Elite series. So they're doing a flame-topped Strat and a flame-necked Tele in Sunburst. I think they're going to be the first two to arrive. Then they're doing matching headstock tellies, which look very cool.
They look very cool. So they're matching headstock American standards.
So they're doing a seafoam green, an Olympic white, which I thought was quite cool, and a Lake Placid blue.
All with rosewood boards.
All with rosewood boards.
That's a shame,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would have been nice to see seafoam green with a maple board.
I actually think the
surf colours have to have rosewood necks.
Well, you're crazy.
No, I don't know.
No. Otherwise, they just look ridiculous.
I think the seafoam with the rosewood looks really, really good. I think the white with the matching headstock is a bit interesting because the only guitar I can think of that's white with a matching headstock that a Fender have ever done, as far as I can think of, is the Johnny Marr Jag.
Yeah, and some custom shop stuff, obviously, as well.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a standard run, so that's really cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah. In June, they're doing a bass. It's an American standard PJ bass,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that. Yeah, great.
Which is quite cool.
Yeah, just one size. Added a jazz bass pickup to it. Really, thanks for the interesting release this year, guys. Yeah,
and it's only in Sunburst.
Yeah, brilliant.
Sunburst just Rosewood.
With a black plate, isn't it, as well? Yeah, brilliant. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Come July, obviously we've got the offset tellies, so very, very cool. September, light ash telly. It's a bit of a weird one because it's gold hardware and a tortoiseshell scratch plate. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of...
the Select. Remember those...
A Christmas condom.
A little bit. Do you remember those Valley Arts guitars?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It sort of reminds me a bit of that. So they were kind of like really blingy tellies.
It reminds you of a blingy cheap telly, is what you're trying to say.
No, they were really expensive.
Yeah. Were they?
Gibson actually bought those, I think.
Yeah, they did buy.
I think about 1,500 quid, some of those.
The thing I read about the light ash telly is that Fender are guaranteeing that none of them will weigh more than £7.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
So, yeah.
What if they build one and then they're like, oh, no.
They'll scrap it. They've said that if they build it and it's more than, it weighs more than £7, they will scrap it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And then finally, come October, there are a limited run of Jazz Masters, but with a Bigsby, like a B50 vibrato tailpiece.
These look super
amazing.
Cool.
Amazing.
Yeah,
this is awesome. The best thing.
Excuse me.
Especially the especially the blue one, because I don't think it's a normal colour blue.
No, I think is it ocean turquoise? I think it's ocean.
Are you sure?
No, not now. You've asked me like that.
I don't know. It didn't quite look like ocean turquoise, even. But again, I'm not sure.
To be honest, I can't remember exactly what the colour is.
It's blue. It's metallic blue.
It's blue. It looks great.
We've
got stuff to get through here.
Yes. So, where are we up to? What else is left in the Magnificent 7 series?
That is the Magnificent 7.
Okay.
The other Fender release that you didn't get on there, I don't know if we mentioned, I think we spoke about it before, the Bass Breakers.
Yes. The reason I didn't put them on there is because I think we've talked about them a bit before, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. They got accidentally pre-released, didn't they?
Oh yeah, they got kind of leaked.
They said, yeah, they sent them to some fella to do a review of them, and he didn't realise they were embargoed and uploaded the review.
Brilliant.
Who did that?
I didn't know the fella.
Some guy in America.
All.
I can't.
Like, but it didn't even look like a good review.
The price on them is pretty. It's pretty nuts. Like, their 7-watt head is £200.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the actual lineup in terms of heads and combos?
I think they're doing a 7-watt head, a 15-watt head, a 15-watt combo, a 30-watt combo, a 50-watt combo, and then they're doing like a bigger head and cab as well, if I remember rightly. I'm trying to remember the exact range off the top of my head.
What do the combos start at? The 15-watt combo?
I think the combo start at 15 watts.
Yeah. Price-wise.
Price-wise, I don't know if anyone's actually listing them yet.
I mean, it will be more than a Blues Junior, won't it?
I don't think they are. I think they're actually less than
Blues. Yeah, that's my thoughts. If the 7-watt head is only £200...
They are 350.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So just about £20 cheaper.
Yeah. So you've got your Blues Junior for your traditional Fender sounds, and then the Bass Breaker for kind of Marshall-y sounds, I guess.
Yeah, because someone was saying, oh, well, you know, it's going to be really weird and really different. But actually, the valves in it are the same because it's still got 84s in it. Because the 84s are the 84s are the small ones, 34s are the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, 84s. So it's just a completely redesigned like preamp power amp circuit. So if you want kind of like a much sort of beefier sound rather than the kind of glassier sound of the Blues Junior, I think they're going to be pretty good. And an XLR line output as well, apparently.
That's quite a jump. Is there effects loop on there?
I don't think there is. Okay. I think there's just the there's a power amp mute, which I thought was quite weird, and then switchable speaker emulation via XLR. So
very bizarre.
Well, presumably the power amp mute is to be used in conjunction with the XLR out.
Sure.
So you can mute the speaker. Yeah, that sounds really cool. Yeah. That's a very interesting way of doing it as well. Because I know that the obviously Hughes and Kettner do something similar in the Redbox.
But you'd expect them to. It's surprisingly contemporary for Fender.
Yeah, very true, yeah.
Maybe they caught a sneak look at the Blues Cube Hot and thought, well, we need to keep up with those sort of features.
I mean, I think it's just Fender sort of realising that it's not 1965 anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
But doing it in a good way, where
it's Fender way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because you know, you think about what Fender have done over the last, you know, 5-10 years or so, trying to project themselves into the modern day by like the releasing the Mustangs, which whilst they fill a niche and I mean not particularly exciting for us.
The Machete.
And then you've got the Machete, exactly. Which again, I mean, I know there are some people out there who absolutely love the Machete. I never got on with it. I just didn't think it sounded very good at all.
I agree with you. But experienced exactly the same thing. Some people really swear by it.
Like a friend of ours who you work with has got one.
Really? And,
yeah, Steph.
Has he?
He's got one and he absolutely loves it. Absolutely loves it. And you know, he's someone whose opinion I really respect on guitars. And I just thought that maybe there was something that I missed with the Machete. Maybe I just completely like didn't like the aesthetics of it and therefore allowed that to colour my opinion of the sound. I'm not sure.
Do you like the sound of Mesa Boogies though?
Well, not really.
Well, they weren't
Mesa Boogie like for like,
no,
were they?
They were quite different.
Yeah, I thought
it was the active EQ that was very, very difficult to kind of get ahead.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Round. Which is always my problem with Boogie stuff, is that the active EQ just messes with my head and I can't work out. Like, I just need like three controls that say bass, middle and treble, and I kind of know where I am.
And
So
it's quite good. I've just found the entire range, so I'll give it a quick blast through. So they're doing a bass breaker 007 7-watt head and combo, a 15-watt head combo.
7-watt combo as well.
7-watt combo, awesome. Yes. 15-watt head or combo. And then one they call the 1830, which is switchable, which they're only doing in combo form. They're doing a 45-watt head or combo, and then you can buy a 1x12 or a 2x12 matching cab.
Cool. There we go.
It's like a whole new range. It's quite cool.
7-watt combo sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Especially if it's got the switchable power output.
Yeah. Have the prices been released of those yet?
Yeah, there are some people listing them. I was just on the Fender website just to kind of get a little bit more of a rundown. But when you click on the link, it says page not found.
So, sweet, good stuff. Fender. Well, something also, else that's not on the Fender website is a couple of brand new Squire models.
The list is this long and we're actually going to mention these.
Yeah.
These look cool, man.
What are you talking about?
Just go through them very quickly.
No, these are super important. Just because you think the bass is rubbish.
No, I just hate the cribs.
I don't even know who they are.
Didn't get much of
it. The worst band of all time.
They're fine.
They're just an NME band.
Johnny Marr play guitar for them for a while?
The band of the century.
Didn't get much of a shout out at NAMM, but apparently they were there. Some people have got a picture of them on the wall, but details have come out online. The Squire Ryan and Gary Jarman signatures. As you've already pointed out, the frontman and bass player of the Cribs, who I know absolutely nothing about.
They do that Man's Needs song.
I don't know what that is.
Man's Needs.
That's not helping. That's making my 2 hours of sleep head hurt.
Yeah, it's a terrible song.
So the Ryan is the guitar player. His signature, I guess, is a cross between a kind of Mustang and a Jaguar.
But it's not. It's not a Jagstang, is it? It's a completely unique shape.
Well, is it a completely unique shape, or is it the other sides?
Well, I don't know. Fender have claimed that's a completely unique shape.
Well, yeah, I mean, perhaps they would, but that to me looks like, because that, like, if you hold it like that,
like a Jaguar top. I agree. Top horn.
No, I think it looks like a Mustang top and a Jaguar bottom.
Exactly. That.
Which is the other way
around.
You
mean long ways? Yeah.
Which, well, that's
this
what,
is impossible for listeners well, to follow. But
no, because if you think about the Jagstang, which was obviously the Kurt Cobain guitar. That's what he wanted. Was he wanted a guitar that was, if you're holding the guitar by the neck, the left. So if you split it down the middle, the left side was a Mustang, and the left side was a Jaguar, and the right side was a Mustang, I think. And by the looks of things, this is the other way round.
Yeah, I think you're actually right. Yeah.
So the good thing about it is it's not a Mustang bridge. Regular sort of Jaguar Jazzmaster with a Tunematic on there. Duncan designed humbucker in the bridge and a
Jaguar style pickup.
Yeah, Jaguar style pickup in the neck. With roller controls, volume and tone, and then a three-way switch. These look super cool. He's actually been playing them for a while.
Is it short scale as well?
It's Jaguar scale length, I believe. Right. Yeah. So he's been playing these for a while, and there's been kind of this hype building up around this kind of mythical
guitar.
The most
important thing is the colour.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's like...
Is it
ocean?
Burgundy Mist?
Yeah, Burgundy Mist with a matching headstock.
Very nice.
That is very cool.
So anyone who wants to do kind of that popular... jangly grunge that all the kids seem to be into at the moment. This is like quite
a cool
guitar.
The Cribs were a popular band like a decade ago.
Yeah, I realise that.
They're in no way popular.
But that's what kids are into now, isn't it? Like 90s nonsense. Like plaid shirts and long hair and stuff. and Thrasher t-shirts. Yeah, this guitar is perfect for that. And alongside that, apparently his brother plays bass in the band, which I don't know. This is a real, really, really weird one. Again, another totally unique shape that's based on like half Precision, half Fender Bass 5. No, it's like half Jazz, half Fender Bass 5.
I thought it was just the Fender Bass 5 body shape.
No, slightly different. Single P bass pickup, thumb rest,
tug bar. It's okay, not a thumb rest.
Tug bar. Rosenborg.
It's a thumb rest if it's above the strings. It's below the strings, so it's a tug bar.
You're a tug bar.
Is that a Tele Bass headstock?
It is, yeah. as well.
Only because they've obviously just used the necks off of the Squire vintage modified
Tele Basses.
No.
Not the 51.
No, because that's a 32-inch scale. It's not 34 right, okay. or 30. It's 32, so medium scale, which is what they had with that headstock on the Tele Basses. They released a series last year. You could get them in blonde or black.
Or black, yeah.
And they either had the 51 pickup in the middle, or you could get them with a Tele humbucker in the neck and a Jazz pickup in the bridge.
Right, okay, yeah. So, that sounds awful.
They were discontinued very quickly.
That's like a really horrible combination.
I had a band patch that I forgot about, and work let me borrow an ex demo guitar to take down to band practice one night, and the only thing in ex demo was one of those vintage modified Tele Basses. I might as well have cancelled the practice. I might as well have down-tuned a guitar for all that thing sounded like a bass. Honestly.
Right, wow. Yeah. Nice. Sounds great. You've convinced me. Yeah. I'm in.
Now, the Gary Jarman, however, has a just a single P-bass pickup, so I'm assuming it's just going to sound like a P-bass with a weird body on it.
It's got a 50s-style chunky bridge, though.
It has, yeah, this one cool. that they're putting on everything, this kind of brass-saddled, big three-saddle chunky bridge.
Yeah, I think the first thing that sort of turned up on was probably the Freeman.
Yeah definitely. Yeah they're cool.
It's weird, isn't it? Both these guitars kind of look like they've been photographed in like a circus
Hall
of mirrors, like room of mirrors, doesn't it? It's really weird.
Or someone sort of made a P bass out of plasticine and then trodden on it a little bit and squished it out a bit.
Well, it's just like because if they're both short scale, they're like you hold them up in the mirror and like they've been squashed down, but also the bodies have sort of been squashed in. And
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. Moving on, loads of new stuff from Orange, as you would expect from NAMM. Firstly, we talked about it last week, the discontinued Tiny Terror.
Yeah.
Orange have been making a big thing about it with this Tiny Terror documentary that they've done about the heritage. The final part of that puzzle is that they've released a new Tiny Terror.
Well, kind of.
And I just found the price.
A green Tiny Terror. Had you not seen it before?
I'd seen the M.
£1,000.
Yeah. Is that how much it is?
£2,000for a green Tiny Terror head and...
They're not green. Matching it's not green.
Silver head and the green cab.
And have you seen... I don't know if they've...
The front panel's green.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Yeah, it's green and black. They look awesome, I must admit. It's a bit weird, obviously. It's 10th anniversary, but they've decided to do it in green. I suppose if they did it in orange, it wouldn't really be as distinctive.
Yeah.
Do you know what... Did you see what they've been colloquially calling it?
No,
the shiny terror.
Very nice. So, Matt, give us the rundown on what's different. Why is it £2,000?
It is actually, as far as I know, hand wired in the UK. So it's UK built, where obviously the normal Tiny Terrors are Far Eastern built. They're only making 110. So they are. I mean, it is basically a pretty good collector's item because recently, a few years ago, they did a run of 50 hand built 50th anniversary OR50s, and they're worth about $5,000 now.
Really?
And each one was individually named with a different name, and I think Aid, who's the guy that helps design all of this, I think he had a hand in building every single one of them.
Right.
And I don't know if it's the same thing with this, but yeah, they are hand wired and the speakers are also custom designed. So they were designed in house by the guy who also works at Celestion to match the amp. And I think the speaker cabs are 2x12 as well. 2x10.
210, yeah.
Really? Yeah. That's a bit of an odd choice, isn't it? Because, you know, all the rest of the range they've done, you know, when they've done Little Tiny Terrors have all been a 12.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going to sound great. I mean, they did those ham-wired Tiny Terrors quite a while ago.
The chrome ones.
They were just normal. They were just called the Tiny Terror hand-wired.
Oh, right. They were called the hard-wired, actually, I think.
Hard-wired, that's it.
Which kind of you don't see them on the market very often either. But, I mean, it's just going to be an awesome-sounding amp.
It looks phenomenal. And, what a great piece of heritage. Because the Tiny Terror did revolutionise the lunchbox amp market. Yeah. As much as Hughes and Kettner claim it was them, it really was the Tiny Terrors that did it.
I had a quick chat with Mark about this earlier. I was going to write something, but I think I might possibly do a video that might rile some people up on why I'm glad that the Tiny Terror is being discontinued.
Really, you're glad?
I wrote a little article about it. And then I thought, actually, this might be better as a video. So
ten years is a good run, isn't it?
I think so.
It's good enough. Time to move on.
Move on.
I think so. They're moving on in the bass amp world.
Oh, my goodness.
Because,
what a wonderful year.
So over the last couple of years, we've seen them doing some new solid-state bass heads.
Well, it does. It's always surprised me that the guy, obviously, Aid, who runs Orange, is a bass player himself.
He doesn't run Orange. He's in charge of the...
He's a lead designer, I believe.
Yeah, well, he...
Orange is still run by Cliff Cooper.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Still... And actually, that's another thing. He hand-signed 110 certificates for the Limited Tiny Terrors.
Sure. That's cool.
Yeah, no, Cliff is still in charge of the day-to-day... Like, he's still in the office. Like,
oh, amazing.
I think pretty much every day.
Well, all thanks to that court case with the Orange phone company.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, that's... Yeah, you should look up... There's an interesting backstory on... Why Orange
had to change their name to EE? Did they become EE?
No.
They became the WWE, actually,
right, okay.
to avoid any contractual obligation
against
to the World Wildlife Fund.
Right, gotcha.
So they removed it last year and the year before the new OB series.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of taken that a step further with a brand new product.
So what they've gone for this year, they have also introduced another amp to the OB 300 and 500 series.
Yes, they have.
The OB 300 combo. So we've got a single 15-inch OB-1 300 combo, which just makes so much sense.
Yep.
Like, it's the right price point, and it's just, this is exactly what a small gigging musician needs.
They've always, that market's always been a bit crap. And I think it's been time for someone to actually step in and do a decent 300-watt big solid-state combo.
Mm, absolutely.
Because it's been a bit underserved, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you and me both, I think, worked in bass departments around the time that it was being so underserved. And whenever you got people coming in with, sort of relatively new players who wanted their first gigging amp and had a certain budget to fulfil.
It's always that, I've got around £300 to £500 to spend.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not sure how much these actually are. I assume they'll be probably over £500.
Only slightly, I think.
Yeah.
Have you got a price up?
I can look it up for you.
Yeah.
But I think they're only a little bit over, considering the price of the heads are only £300.
Yeah. It always was a bit of a kind of no man's land, really. You had to say to people, if you want to spend less than £300, get something for your house.
Yeah.
If you want to spend over £500, then maybe think about getting a slightly more expensive head and cab. So.
One retailer is listing them at £899.
Oh, wow. Okay, so they are quite a bit more.
Oh,
but,
okay.
yeah, but it's still fulfilling that, kind of professional grade 15-inch combo.
And by the looks of things, and you may be able to correct me if I'm incorrect here, but by the looks of things, you can take the head out of the chassis.
It does look
relatively
as if you
easy.
Can remove
it does appear to just be the four rack screws that you would expect to have to screw it into, like a rack unit that's holding it into the chassis of the combo. If that's the case, that is brilliant.
Probably isn't that, because when you get that, they will often not have the top panel on.
You say that, but Mark bass. You're always able to...
Yeah, true.
With the Mark-based stuff, you could get in the back and unplug the kettle lead and unplug the speaker cable. If Orange had done the same thing, if they've left the...
You couldn't remove the head from those combos.
No, you couldn't remove the head, but that's what I'm saying. If Orange have done it so that you can remove the head in this...
That'd be good.
I don't know. I mean, we've not seen the back of them. And I would have thought that that's probably quite a... you know, makes life a little bit more difficult because you've got to, we're not porting it as such, but you know, you've got to leave the back open for the head. That would be really cool. I hope they've done that.
Yeah. Well, either way, they're great, a great addition. But more excitingly, Orange have gone into a whole new market of bass head with their four-stroke bass amp heads. They've released two again in 300 and 500 watt, and these come in the same chassis as the Obi-Wan series. But what makes them really unique and really different for Orange is Orange have sort of set aside everything that you would normally associate Orange with, and they've gone after bass players who want clean, essentially the other market of bass players.
Yeah, dirty and clean.
Yeah,
they've got it. They've got both of them.
So what they've done is they've put built-in solid-state Class A compression on there, and they've gone with a parametric EQ as well. So completely not what I look for from Orange, which does worry me because I worry that people who are looking for that don't look at Orange.
Sure.
But I think this is great, like a rock and roll band who are offering essentially a clean amp here that can take loads of pedals. I mean, I use the Obi-Wan 500 and I'm perfectly happy with that amp.
I mean, when you say they've gone down the other route, I don't think the Obi-Wans are overly dirty. I mean, they've got that blend circuit built in and
their
stuff.
Their second control is a drive.
Of course. No, I understand that. But if you leave that off, they're not particularly grindy sounding.
I actually find them incredibly clean with it off because they don't have a gain and volume. They just have a master volume
A
three band. So really, for me, it's great for stacking pedals and stuff. So, but anyway, this has gone down the other route. I think these will be really successful because I think bass players are often knobheads and they want lots of controls where they need none at all. So for all those bass players who want loads of...
Are those pedals I'm getting on?
No. That's where you need controls.
Right,
where you don't need
controls
is on your guitar and on your amp.
I'm going to clip that. Just get a little clip of Branton saying, bass players are often knobheads.
Well they are. But this amp will fulfil... sort of all the knobheads needs, but they're going to be very good. They are going to be really, really good amps, and I will have to try one out to see if it's a better clean. I'd always want my compression to be on the floor rather than on the amp, to be honest.
But it is, because it's foot switchable.
It is, yeah, but just on and off.
Yeah, you can't control
it
from the floor.
Yeah, so but I still think those are really interesting. And then of course the most exciting thing.
This isn't actually on this list, but
I'm going to mention it anyway. I actually spoke to James from Orange today about when we could possibly...
When can get one for a demo?
Yeah, well, I tried it out. In fact, were you still working?
No, it wasn't
me. No. Oh, yeah, we tried them out when they...
What is it?
Okay. Orange have made a bass. The O-Bass. And the thing is, when they brought a prototype in that myself and Jay tried out, and it was it's the same as it is now. So it's a small Les Paul body with a full scale neck and a Rickenbacker style headstock with a precision bass pickup in it. Very, very simple, proper rock and roll bass. When they brought one in, it was Olympic white and it had a bright orange scratch plate. And to be honest, it looked a little bit cheap.
It looked like, do you remember the they did those starter packs?
Yeah.
I don't think it was last year. I think it might have been the year before.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it the same bass from the starter
packs? Yeah, well, it looks like the same instrument shape, yes, that they did of the guitar starter packs. Yes, looks like that.
We should make it clear, it's not the same bass, because those were just a cheap Chinese.
Yes. These are very properly built. They've also done them in... The finishes that they've now decided on are a gorgeous two-tone sunburst with like a... It's like a teardrop sunburst.
Yeah.
They do it in an off black, so like an aged black, and they do it in orange, which is wicked.
It's orange,
yeah, but orange is orange.
Orange is
that's pretty cool.
Own brand of orange.
All of them come with the black and the sunburst come with a parchment plate, but also come with a taut plate that you can swap it out for.
Nice.
The orange one comes with a black plate or a white plate that you can use. I just think this is brilliant. They've actually exclude the orange. The orange is the one that you would get if you want to really plug orange. It's the extrovert one. But the black, the off black, and the gorgeous two-tone sunburst with parchment and rosewood plates, they look like something out of the 70s. They have really thought this through.
Do we know how much they are?
Yeah, £279
£289
with an orange soft case.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
So basically, nice. what they've done is, by the looks of things, now I don't mean to talk myself up here too much, but I'm going to. What they've done is they have taken the base that they brought in to show me a year or so ago.
Yeah.
Made all of the changes, including the changes to the price, the exact price that I suggested, and then brought that to market. So thanks very much.
That is actually true, but I expect those people said that they did say, I think when they brought it into us, they said they were thinking about putting up for like 349 or 339.
They said, yeah.
And we were all like, it's got to be under the 300.
I think I said 379. Sorry, 279. And they've done, by the looks of things, the black and the sunburst are 289. Yeah.
Right.
And the orange is 269.
I'm really excited. What great.
I think that's really funny that they've made the orange one. I think it's great. Like,
orange
one's
a bit cheaper. Save yourself 20 quid and do a bit of marketing.
I think they should have done it even cheaper than that. Yeah. Like, made it proper cheap.
Just 249.
249, absolutely, yeah. These do look good. When we saw the prototype, I was very worried because I did think that it was orange going in a bit of a strange direction.
Yeah.
I think they. Initially, I thought that this was orange, sort of just going, oh yeah, base, we'll have a bit of that. But I'm actually, as often happens with orange, my sort of, in the same way that when we found out they were doing a solid state base amp, we were like, I'm not sure about this. But as orange often have done, they've brought a product to market which actually all my worries have been sort of assured. No, I think it's going to be a very good alternative in that sub £300 market. Because
Definitely. Really,
what have you got if you want something classic?
If you want something
other
classic,
than a P bass or a jazz bass,
you have to go to Squire Vintage Modified at that market.
Yeah.
You think the other competitors are all Ibanez SRs
or like a Pony Epiphone?
Yeah, Pony Epiphones or the budget. And the thing is that the Epiphones for that price are rubbish. The Vint Mods by Squire
are great.
But then that's the only thing. Because the other things that are great are the Ibanez SRs and the ESPB series
which
stuff.
Which won't appeal to people.
Which are very modern.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just a couple of pedals are the last announcements even. Matt, do you want to tell us about the two-stroke EQ and the amp detonator?
Yeah, the amp detonator's a weird one because I thought, oh, it's like some sort of boost. It's actually an AB box.
It's an AB wire.
So weird that it's like such a ridiculous name for such a kind of utility pedal.
Have you watched the video for it? My mate Goz is one of the fellas that they're asking about it, the bass player in Black Peaks.
How is Goz?
He's all right.
Is he? Oh, good.
I don't like his band anymore. Not since they've been signed by Sony. They don't scream anymore.
Sellouts.
Politics.
God, making money off music. So Matt, tell us about the pedals.
Yeah, so the detonator is an active ABY box with dual buffered outputs and phase inversion. So the idea is that a lot of times if you have an AB box, a lot of them are passive, so you get these big clicks and pops and things when you go between two amps. The idea is with this is that it's silent switching between the two and buffered outputs. So if it sits at the end of your signal chain, no matter how many pedals you might have in front of it, if you're then running two 20, 30 foot cables from that to the amps, it's silent switching and you don't lose any sort of signal. It pumps all the top end back in.
It's also built like a tank. It's a great looking pedal.
It also looks like a tank.
Yeah.
I would also never drop this amount of money on an ABY box.
Yeah, I haven't actually looked at the price, but saying that, I mean, there are some expensive AB boxes out there, but they are definitely worth it. I think the thing is I've used plenty of the little Fender ones and you know, things like the radio ones are great, but going for an active powered AB box makes all the difference. If you do a lot of switching between the two, if you run in stereo, that's different because you're sending signal out to two amps always. Whereas if you're using a clean amp and a distorted amp, or you know, two distinctly different amps for whatever reason, then going for a proper powered active AB box is what you should really have.
Why is that?
So, because it makes a big difference in terms of switching signal levels. Like I said, you get less noise switching between the two as well, and also it offers proper phase inversion. So a lot of times you get two amps where the speakers will actually be pushing and pulling out of phase. So being able to correct the phase means that both the amps work together and you get a fuller and fatter sound. And a lot of times you wouldn't realize that if you've got a cheap AB box, you wouldn't necessarily realize your amps were out of phase until you could actually switch between both phases, and then you realise how much of a difference it makes.
And tell us about the two-stroke EQ.
Yeah, so I think following on from the parametric EQ that's in the Backspan Gitar, this is two parametric EQs in one box, and I still think parametric EQ is a great thing, but it just takes so long to dial in.
Yeah.
Because most people aren't used to it, the fact that you kind of find a frequency range, you're sweeping through a frequency range, and then you have to boost or cut that frequency. But what I like about it is that they've set unity gain on the boost, because it's a booster with two EQs. They've set the boost for unity gain at zero. So if you just want to hear the EQ, you turn the boost down to zero, you don't lose anything, and it's just the EQ. And then okay. As soon as you touch the boost, it's all volume.
Okay.
Which I find is really good, because most of the, you know, you might find that unity gain might be at 12 o'clock or, you know, 3 o'clock or something like that, and just the last bit of the pot is boost, and then the rest actually turns your signal down. There's no way to make this pedal any quieter, effectively, if you turn it all the way down, that's unity gain.
Yeah.
So if you want to just use it as a cool EQ pedal, you can, and if you want to add transparent boost as well, you can just literally turn up the boost control. And as per the Backspan Gitar, what it allows is just a really nice, super clean, no gain boost. It's just pure transparent volume, which yep. is great if you just want things to be louder without actually adding any additional gain or drive to your signal.
That was always the classic kind of guitar shop question. People come in and go, I want a boost, but I don't want it to change the sound. And it's like,
yeah,
that's a really difficult thing to actually get. Whereas this actually seems like, you know, if you leave the EQ off, then you've just got, like you say, straight up volume.
Yeah, and it runs higher headroom inside. So it takes a normal 9-volt, but actually runs at 18.
Okay.
So you get more clear headroom as well. So, yeah, I think it would be really good, because the Backspan Gitar, I still couldn't really get my head around it. And, you know, there's a lot of gain in it that I probably wouldn't use, because it's kind of modelling an amp, where this allows you to kind of really tailor your guitar sound more from an EQ perspective.
Definitely.
They've been busy, haven't they?
They have been. Orange have done a lot of stuff. They've done a lot of stuff.
Like,
and it's all completely disparate stuff.
And that's the thing is like, it's worth... It's
no,
worth,
it's a core line, is it?
Well, that yeah, and it's worth knowing that Orange is a very, like, relatively a small company. There's not that many people that work there. There's definitely not that many people that work in the design
no.
side of things. It's pretty much Adrian and yeah. I think, you know, a couple of other...
I think he pretty much designs everything, I think.
Yeah, and it's, you know, so they've done a... They've been very busy. That's cool. I mean, I love Orange. I think the Orange stuff's great. So this is great.
There's a lot more on this list. We're nearly up at time for
no,
this episode.
No. What are we going to do? We'll have to do an extra episode.
I was going to say,
why don't you just list it all off? Because I mean, there's still stuff that I've seen today that isn't on this list.
Okay, well, what I was going to say...
And then we mentioned a few bits.
Let's just do one more brand, and then we'll go over to the Patreon episode, and then we'll finish off this list, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So, just quickly, let's talk about the new Washburn Ola England Signature Solar Vs.
Sorry, what of all the things to pick?
Well,
right.
I'm just thinking of no, something that we then. Can talk about quickly, and then we can do some stuff in the Patreon, and then next week we're going to do an all questions episode, because we've not done any questions for like 3 weeks. So, we're going to do a big questions spectacular for those people that have sent questions in. So, the Washburn Ola England Signature Solar Vs. Taking some of the features from his regular solo guitars, but putting them into some flying Vs seems to be about the story there. Matt, have you got any spec or details?
I was going to have a look. He's been promoing these for months, because obviously he's really active on social media. But the thing I like about him and all of the solo ones is they just feel really nice to play. All of the standard guitars they do are just really nice, and they're about £650.
Yeah.
So you're kind of not really breaking the bank if you want a flying V that's a bit more metal, that's not potentially like an ESP, or, you know, something similar that's really pickup wise going to cover sort of everything from sort of higher gain metal to actually something probably a little bit more diverse.
Well, we talked about this a lot when we because we awarded the Solar 6, I think, was the it wasn't Gear of the Year, was it? But it was in the running a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we said that, yes, they're a little bit more kind of usable than a lot of those metal guitars. And these Flying Vs, or these Vs, kind of look a similar way.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that, once again, I mean, potentially probably a guitar that I wouldn't necessarily play, but actually a nice option for people out there looking for something different that's actually a little bit more playable than some of the more well-established guitars out there.
Definitely, definitely. Chaps, shall we... we'll wind this episode up.
There's a lot... An hour already?
We've done an hour already.
Are you
already.
Sure? Oh, man.
Yep, and then we'll do as much as we can in the Patreon. If there's anything left, we'll carry on next week.
Yeah, we should carry on, because, to be honest, a lot of people would have looked up this stuff anyway.
Sure, sure.
I think it's just cool to talk about
Well, let's do some in the Patreon, see where we get to. If you want to hear some more of this, do head over to patreon.com/guitarnerds, whereas from as little as $5 a month, you get an extra half an hour at least of every Guitar Nerds podcast. And for $10 a month, you become one of our executive producers. We've had a couple new people sign up, so we're running out of spaces. So if you're interested in that, getting your name read out on the podcast, a big thank you every week. Do sign up quickly, because we are running out of spots. These people are our executive producers.
Jeremy Depter, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Billy Little Rascal, Jack Conroy, Little Clemmer, Grace Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Corbin, Trimit Trimitzer, Hey Little Tom Set, and Little Granite, Corbin Andrew.
That was probably the worst one you've ever done. People are paying to have their names read out.
And I was really dribbling.
I know.
There's
literally a bit of dribble on your phone. That's horrible. Absolutely disgusting. I've just not had enough sleep to deal with that noise.
Do you want a hug?
Yeah, big hug. Anyway, thanks for joining us again this week. Do head over to patreon.com/guitarnerds to hear some more NAMM news and our movie commentaries and all of the Patreon episodes that we've done over the last, 8 months? Something like that? How long have we been doing this?
I don't know.
There's loads of content up there, and you can access the whole kind of back catalogue if you sign up. You can also go over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum, to join the conversation. Like I said, all questions episode next week. So, you can submit your questions there. Join us on Twitter @GuitarNerds or on YouTube @GuitarNerdsVideos. You can follow me on Twitter, Mark_Random. You can follow Matt_Nightsy. You can follow Jay @JAYBM1 and Joe @Joseph_900. Thanks for sticking with us this week. I guess we'll see you next week, probably.
Or maybe in like 5 minutes.
Or maybe 5 minutes if you join us on Patreon, which I suggest you do. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.